Good morning, and a very warm welcome to Kindred's presentation of the financial results for the second quarter of 2018. My name is Mattias Lundberg, and I will be hosting the Q&A session after the presentation, working at SEB. So without any further ado, I leave the floor to you, Henrik.
Thank you very much, Mattias. My name is Henrik Tjärnström. I'm CEO of Kindred Group. First, I'd like to say please apologize for I managed to catch a bit of a summer flu, but it's nothing serious, and hopefully I can be heard anyway. Anyway, I'm very happy to stand here in front of you today and present our second quarter numbers. If we take ourselves back one year from to where we went in the Q2 report for 2017, that was a quarter without any major football championships, but we were still up 32% as reported and 18% organically and in constant currency. So it was a really strong quarter back then with a new all-time high in revenues and across the business. But that also made the comparables for this year quite tough. Of course, we had the World Cup, which helped us a lot this year, but we're still very happy to be up 31% as reported and 24% organically and in constant currency. So very strong results. But of course, the main thing making that possible is the World Cup. And every other year when we have a major football championship, I'm extremely pleased to see that the whole group and the whole team and every employee in the company is coming together to deliver on our plans to be ready for when the championship starts. And this year was no exception. And I would like to take the opportunity to thank everyone in the company and all colleagues for making this possible and contributing so strongly to our results. Thank you very much. And on that, follow on with the outline of today. We're going to start looking at some of the highlights of the quarter, of course, touching also on the World Cup, as I mentioned, then followed by financial results and a bit of look on the business overview, and then rounding off with a summary. But first, if we look on us and our brand portfolio as we stand today, this is something that is slightly changing from quarter to quarter. In Q1, we migrated the Stan James customers to the Unibet brand for the U.K. market, which of course short-term kind of had some impact on the kind of activity numbers for the U.K. market. But long-term, we're very confident that that's the right strategic move to do for us, and we've been seeing very positive uptake from the Stan James customers also coming on to the Unibet brand now in the second quarter and leading into the World Cup. But also, as you can see at the bottom, the three brands there organically launched. Vlad Casino was launched also earlier this year, and Storspelare was launched early last year. All the other brands have come through acquisitions that we've done over the years. So a very good and broad brand portfolio that we operate. If we look on some of the highlights for the report, as I mentioned, we're very pleased to have a very strong quarter, 219 million pounds, making it the second best quarter ever for us as a group, and that coming in the second quarter, but of course assisted with the World Cup, as I mentioned. Up 31% as reported, and if we look in organically, that would be 25%, and as the FX didn't have much impact this quarter, organic and in constant currency was still up 24%, as I mentioned previously. But we're also very happy to see that there's strong development across our product portfolio, and I would say the sportsbook up 43% year-on-year, very strong. And the casino and games segment was up 23% as reported, and that's up 10% organically and in constant currency. I would say that's still very strong, considering also that the weather has been very warm in especially the Nordic region, which have had some impact on our numbers, even though the mobile is more prominent today, so we're less weather dependent. But I think it's fair to say that with May and June being exceptionally warm, that have some impact on especially the Nordic region, I would say. But still very strong across those. We're also very happy to show that, as you can see here, EBITDA is growing faster than top line, coming in on 36% as reported. Our underlying EBITDA was 25%, and in constant currency, that would be 27% up. The 24% growth organically in constant currency and top line is met by 27% growth in our underlying EBITDA. Again, very happy to see that there is an improved conversion down the P&L. Also as we're doing more investments in marketing and also as we have some depreciation amortization coming from the acquisition, earnings per share was up 24% as well, which again is very happy with. Free cash flow, considering the event around the World Cup and also that the customer were redepositing, we had a very strong free cash flow development, up 60% year-on-year to 35.3 million pounds. I would say one of the absolute strong points of the report is significantly new all-time high in active customers, up 32% year-on-year to 1.55 million customers. That's really showing that we initially even get a very good return on our marketing investments that we did during the second quarter in connection with the World Cup. That, of course, will be very important for the peak season starting now in Q3 and then into Q4 and Q1 of next year. I think that's the very strong point here, new all-time high in active customers. If we look again at the World Cup and look a little bit more in detail on how the numbers, we've shown this kind of slide in connection with the World Cup in 2014 and also the Euro Championship in 2016. In total, the turnover came in on 295 million pounds now for the total World Cup tournament. On next slide, I will show a bit more comparisons with the World Cup of 2014. Very strong turnover increase. Pre-game margin came in on 13.1% throughout the period, spanning both June and July. Live betting margin, as expected, slightly lower on 9.4%, but still quite high compared to the long-term average live betting margin. I think partly reflecting also that some of the matches were kind of surprised throughout the match rather than coming back to the favorite later on in the matches. Strong margins in both pre-match and live. Combined margin resulting in 11.9% for the full tournament. If we look on the gross winnings split for June and July, the normal pattern would be that, and as we mentioned in connection with the Q1 report, that we would expect a lower margin perhaps in the June period and higher in July. That's what we've seen in previous tournaments recently. This year, as there were some unusual results or unexpected results, I would say, in the June period, the margin for June actually came in higher now, 14.1% combined and 7.8% for the July period. Just shows that things, it doesn't always go completely according to plan, but in the end, they tend to even out and still very strong delivery across the tournament. Resulting in a gross winnings revenue generation of 27 million in the June period and 8 million into the July period. Total 35 million pounds before bonus attribution. If we look on the comparisons, just to put things into perspective from the previous slide. If we look on number of bets placed now during the World Cup in 2018, we had 44.9 million bets being placed. That number in 2014 was 21.2, up 112%. If we look on transactions per day for our platform on peak days, we achieved a new all-time high on 35.5 million transactions on our platform in one single day. That was same equivalent number in the World Cup period in 2014 was 14.3, up 148%. If we also look on turnover, as I mentioned, 295 million, the same number in the World Cup 2014 was 112.5. It's up 162%. Also gross winnings revenue, the 35 million this time was 16 million last time around in the World Cup, so up 119%. Very strong development and delivery. Also margin in 2014, we had 14.3% margin. Now, also as the last stages and especially the final, as it didn't reach extra time like it did in 2014, the margin came in slightly lower on 11.9% for the whole tournament, as I mentioned, but 14.3% in the World Cup 2014. Just very strong developments and more than doubling on most KPIs as such. We, of course, also, as I mentioned in connection with Q1, the World Cup was expected to be the biggest event ever for us, and we reached a significant change in our all-time high list. For example, on number of the top 20 list on turnover events, 16 of those were replaced now during the World Cup, and 12 out of the 20 on gross winnings revenue generation, but also 8 of the 20 when it came to biggest losing events in a day. That just shows that there is a very, very high activity and activity around the World Cup, but overall, a very, very strong development and results achieved. Also, as we mentioned in connection with Q1, and this is a slide that we also had in 2016 in connection with our Q2 report then, we were talking about this year earlier in Q1 that we were, if you look back on previous tournaments, the EBITDA change between Q1 and Q2 could be anything between 15%-30% looking historically. We were saying, though, that we were aiming to the lower end of that span, so to more towards the 15%, and it could be even better than that. In the end now, we actually came in with a drop of EBITDA for 12% between Q1 and Q2. That's still very strong. It's reflecting that we invested a lot more in marketing now during the second quarter than we did in the first quarter. We also invested 19.6 million pounds more in marketing this second quarter than we did in the Q2 of 2017. As we show here on the right-hand side, this is very much a normal pattern, and we're really building the business for the longer term, and this is a very good opportunity for us to invest in connection with a tournament like this and really build a database. As I showed already, the first result of that is a new all-time high in active customers, and that will then lead on to very strong gross winnings revenue generation, especially now from Q3, Q4, and into the peak season in the autumn and winter. Very much about what we talked about, short-term pain, long-term gain, and this is just showing that we even achieved better than we planned for already now in the second quarter. On our financial results. The summary of the quotes on our report this morning was gross winnings revenue up 31% and all-time high in active customers. Those were the two really strong points. If we look, though, on the gross winnings revenue in comparison with previous quarters and years, there's strong development, and as I said, this second quarter is the second strongest quarter ever, only beaten by Q4 last year when we had a truly exceptional sports betting margin. Very strong, and we're very happy with the delivery on the Q2 numbers. 426.8 million now for the first half year, taking it already now sort of above the three quarters of 2016 and close to three quarters even on 2017. Again, the strong growth trend continues for us when we're growing much faster than the overall market. Also from the mobile, again, similar to with the gross winnings revenue, this was the second strongest quarter ever for us from the mobile channel. Again, only beaten by Q4 last year with that exceptional sports betting margin. Up 29% year-on-year and 72% of the total gross winnings revenue generated from the mobile channel. Also further down in the P&L, despite increases in betting duties that were up 55% year-on-year or up £13.8 million, and marketing, as I mentioned, up 45% year-on-year or £19.6 million. Despite both of those, as I mentioned, EBITDA was growing faster than the top line. We're basically showing that we're keeping the other costs in under strict control to allow space for both betting duties and marketing investments. Very strong development there, and if we look on the 36% growth as reported in EBITDA for the group. These are the numbers for the full year, so we are trending very well on that look as well. If we look on the FX, as I mentioned already, there was relatively small movements in our currencies, and overall just 1%, and as you can see on the bottom of this slide, there's only marginal impact for once on the P&L from FX, so more like for like in that respect. When we look also on the growth by region, the 9% reported in the Nordic region, if we look in constant currency and also organically, that equates to 11%, and the same number for the Western European segments would be 47% reported and organic in constant currency, 27%. Both those numbers, we believe are way above the overall market growth and makes us confident to say that we continue to take market share in our core markets. When it comes to the other costs, post depreciation, amortization, and FX, an indication of our cost control, we're very happy with the long-term trend that it continues to be on a downward slope. As we mentioned already in previous quarters, the investments that we're doing in our staff, but also in our new facilities across the globe, is having some short-term impact by increasing the fixed cost base momentarily. Over time, we would expect those to continue to come down from these levels. For the second quarter now, we came in on 9% of the top line in reported other costs, post depreciation, amortization, and FX. Also, when we look at the EPS development, as I mentioned, the depreciation, amortization of the acquired intangibles have continued now, and some of those are getting to the end of the three-year cycle from the iGame and Stan James acquisitions back in 2015. Now, in the second quarter, we had still 1.1 million pounds accelerated amortization relating to predominantly the Stan James brand, and that will be 1 million now for Q3 and Q4 as well. We also had 3.2 million for amortization of our other acquired intangibles, predominantly from the 32Red acquisition. Those will be also around this level for this third quarter and then dropping slightly to around 2 million for Q4. That's the indication for the rest of the year. In total, our D&A for the quarter came in on 11.8 million for the quarter, so it's in line with what we had already in the first quarter. On business overview, this is again EPS development for the full year, looking at the third quarter and the fourth quarter respectively as well as comparison to the first half year. On business overview, we're looking at the active customers, and again, the new all-time high is just showing the strong trend we've had from the previous years. We were up 32% year-on-year. If we look back on sequentially year-on-year from 2011 to 2017, we had a growth year-on-year compounded annual growth rate of 26% in active customers. At the same period, the ARPU has been up 1% year-on-year. We're very much continuing to grow the business through number of active customers rather than ARPU, which we again believe is the sustainable way of growing the business. Also very strong development even year-on-year as well, as I mentioned, with 32% up. Very happy with the growth rate in active customers, and again, bodes really well for the peak season coming now in the back end of the year. The sports betting margin came in on 8.2% of the free bets, and that is again slightly higher than the long-term average. Of course, in this period, the World Cup, or this quarter, the World Cup period assisted in that sense. Even though we had a strong start to the quarter, that was even further helped by the ending of the World Cup as well. 8.2%, slightly above the long-term average. That is around 7.2% if we look back over the most recent years. If we look on the product and geographical split, the product as the sports betting margin, again, were slightly higher than the long-term average. The sports betting component came in slightly higher again, and leaving casino now 47%, and we have 48% on sports for the quarter, and there are other products being poker and bingo and others are sharing the remaining 5% of the total gross winnings revenue. A very well-balanced product portfolio. Also geographically, as expected, the growth that we see now when the 32Red numbers are coming through from full quarters from Q3, Q4, Q1, and now Q2. The Western European segment, also where the markets are larger from a population point of view and relatively less developed also from a sort of online penetration point of view. The Western European segment is continuing to take market share and now came in on 56% for the group, and the Nordics held up on 34% for the quarter. The other regions, CES on 7 and others on 3, is about the same as in previous quarters. One thing that we also announced earlier in the quarter is the news that we have secured the sponsorship of the Swedish Elite Football, potentially for the coming 12 years from 2020. And it's something that we are extremely proud of, to be able to take that. And it's basically a result of the re-regulation happening now in Sweden, basically allowing sports to be able to get the full market price for their assets. And we are very happy with that. As you can see, me and Dersim Sylvan, our general manager for Sweden, very happy together with Mats Enqvist from Swedish Elite Football. And it's a big move for Swedish Elite Football, being able to get up to 60% more per annum for their asset, and for us to secure one of the absolute top assets in the Swedish market, which we strongly believe will be important to secure differentiation in a very crowded market in Sweden post re-regulation as well. It's one of the biggest sports sponsorships ever done in Sweden. It could be up to 150 million Swedish per year. And if we go for the full 12-year cycle, we have a 6-plus-6-year agreement. It could be worth up to 1.8 billion for Swedish Elite Football. So we are very happy to be working together with them and develop the plan of the coming 15, 18 months to before go live in 1st January 2020. But it also shows the benefit, if we look further on the re-regulatory update, of other monopoly markets that are yet to re-regulate. And some of them, like Finland and especially Norway, who are arguing for keeping a monopoly for funding of sports, we can show by this sponsorship that it's actually a good thing for sports to re-regulate as well, when they can get a full market price for their assets, as I showed on the previous slide, up to 60% more than they could in a monopoly situation. So it's really something to think about for the countries yet to re-regulate. Some of the updates, though, in our main markets, Sweden, as you would have seen, this was voted through in the Swedish Parliament on the 7th of June, and will be the ambition to go live now from 1st January on an 80% tax rate, all products allowed, and that is positive. The license application documentation is coming out step by step, and we will be ready to submit from the day one of the application submission opportunity coming, to be able to go live from the word go on 1st January 19. Netherlands, now there is a coalition agreement in place, which is very positive. There is also been some movements and clear indication on things moving forward in the Netherlands. Right now, the vote in the Senate is planned for Q4, looks like it's likely to happen in Q4, and the secondary legislation is supposed to come out on consultation now in August this year. So if those things fall in place with the vote in the Senate in Q4, the expectation is that the market could go live sometime during 2020, we believe is the most reasonable assumption, and probably more towards the middle of 2020 than the 1st of January 2020. But again, remains to be seen, but movements in the right direction clearly in the Netherlands. And France, there's been talk about privatization of the Française des Jeux, and it was actually presidential approval on the 13th of June, which is an important step forward for that to happen. And now in early Q4, it's expected to become more clear exactly what means of that and what the government will do with their 87% ownership in Française des Jeux. And we believe that this is an important catalyst for any other sort of changes in the French system. So we don't expect anything to happen before Q4, when the PACT law details will become more clear. In Italy, the political situation is what it is, and a little bit unpredictable. It came a little bit out of the blue with a marketing or advertising ban from June 19. So that is what we have to work with. It was adopted by the parliament on the 14th of July, and that's still what it looks like, but it can, of course, change before next year as well, albeit though that there's a parliamentary majority for introducing this ban. Again, watch this space and let's see what happens between now and that date. Another thing that we are working on, as we mentioned already in Q1, is the U.S., and we just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on that. As you would know, it's one of the potentially largest markets globally, with the 50 states in the U.S., and even if it would be, in a sense, only 40 that would adopt an online gambling regulation, it's still a very, very big market considering the sort of 300 million-plus people living in the U.S. Right now, it's still only sort of Nevada, Delaware, and New Jersey, but other states are opening up as well, and also the big trigger now, of course, has been the U.S. Supreme Court declaring PASPA unconditional earlier in the year. It will be up to states to decide on a state-by-state basis. Some have done already now with New Jersey allowing sports betting, and those were the one who really triggered this. We are imminently going to submitting our license application for New Jersey any day now, and we're also at the very final stages of securing a market access deal with one of the land-based casino groups. For New Jersey, we're still having the ambition to go live later this year. We are, of course, also looking at the other states to come, and we have a team on the ground with office and representation and everything. We really have a good long-term plan, and we're really following developments on the ground and seeing how things develop. Of course, we want to have a big share of the U.S. market over time. It's still very early days in the U.S. overall. Another thing that we're very proud of is that for the third straight year, we're going to be the main sponsor and co-arranger of the Sustainable Gambling Conference. It's been held 2 years out of Malta. This is the first year where it will be held in Stockholm. That we're very much looking forward to. This is just to put a note out to save the date for the 16th of October here in Stockholm. If you have any questions, you can please mail those to sustainablegambling@kindredgroup.com, as you can see here in small print on the slide, and your questions be addressed through that. It was a very good event last year when we were in Malta, and we believe that this will be even better this year, of course, when we're also taking it to Stockholm to be closer to the Swedish audience. Very much looking forward to that. Save the date for 16th of October. If we round off with a summary of the second quarter, the strong point I would really emphasize is the new all-time high in active customers of 1.55 million customers. The free bet, the sports betting margin of the free bets of 8.2%. Also, gross winnings revenue up 31%, EBITDA 36%, and EPS 24%. As I said, free cash flow, and considering the dividend more tied to the cash flow than on the results on the P&L, it's up 60%, which bodes well for that also for the full year. Still very strong cash flow generation for the group. That ends the presentation. I invite back Mattias for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much, Henrik. We will now commence with the Q&A session. We will start by taking questions here in this room and then follow up with questions from the telephone and the web. A strong set of figures for this quarter. I wonder, are you overall satisfied with the execution in the quarter, both looking at the full quarter and the World Cup? Are there any granularities or deviations that perhaps are not reflected by just looking at the figure that's worth mentioning?
Yeah, as I mentioned, overall, and the preparedness that we have and the plan we laid out since the European Championship in 2016 to be able to execute, especially on the sports brand now than for the World Cup, has been very ambitious, and I was very happy to see that in the weeks leading up to the tournament that all the things fell into place, and we were able to execute according to the plan, and really being as personal as possible with the customers, be able to offer live offers in a personalized way to the customers in real time throughout the matches, which is really, really important. And also the marketing campaigns that we did in connection with the tournament to make sure, as I said, to build the database for the coming periods. We're very, very happy with that. So overall, very, very pleased, I would say, and also that the platform and technology, as I mentioned, it really held up well and coped with the significant load that we have. And it's truly impressive numbers, especially if you look on shorter time frames when it's peak hours during those days, with the amount of logins coming simultaneously and over even per minute and per hour. So very, very strong development there. We also were able to have over 560 releases on the platform throughout the World Cup period. And if you look back a few tournaments ago, there was like code freeze between the month before the tournament and until after the tournament was done. And those days are long gone now, and we are clearly executing in a very professional way, and it's very much business as usual. So again, very, very pleased with that. As I mentioned slightly though, if I would be critical on, or if I could have wished for even more in certain areas, it would be probably the sort of the casino in the Nordics, that we were in a sense only up 2% as reported. But again, I think the results being more favorable for sports, and as we have a lot of combined players in our databases, that surely have some impact. But also the weather condition, as I mentioned, in the Nordics, where casinos mobile is still strong, but it's still relatively less on casino than on sports. I think that has some impact as well. But we're very confident with the product we have and what we're doing, and I'm not seeing any problems in that. That was just the outcome when we looked at the number.
And looking month to month, like May, was that a good or weak quarter? June?
May from a casino was probably the weakest month of the three. Mm. So, and again, would also support the theory about the weather having some impact there, because May here in Sweden, at least, or in all the Nordic markets, were truly exceptional. It's never been like this. So hottest on for 250 years. So it would be a surprise if it didn't have any impact on the numbers. But that's it will even out over time.
And you mentioned that you were gaining market share in Western Europe. I'm a bit curious to what markets would that be?
We have strong growth across most of the markets in Western Europe. We also, the UK market now, after the Stan James and 32Red acquisitions, on top of the organic focus that we've had since 2012, has put the UK up on the top of our markets already now, and it's growing faster than the group overall, so that will become bigger and bigger. But also Netherlands, Belgium, France, also Germany, all those markets are growing faster than the group average, and of course that results in kind of being a bigger share. And as I said, it's big markets from a population point of view as well, so it's only expected to become bigger and bigger.
Do you have a license in Spain?
No, we don't have that.
Okay. Are you planning expansion to Spain?
We're looking opportunistically at all markets when the license window is open in Spain. It's an opportunity for us that we could go, but we also strongly believe in focus and not doing too much things at the same time. But it is again a country with a big population and long term, of course, online will be bigger there as well. So it's more a question of time, I would say, again, like we said previously.
Okay. Do we have any questions in the room? Mikael, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Mikael Axén, Carnegie. A couple of questions. Can you talk about the sort of the activity, the sports betting activity during the quarter? Stakes were up only 10%, fairly low given the World Cup.
Yeah, as I said already in the Q1 and also in Q4, strongly believe that the strong margin that we had now from Q3, Q4, Q1 and now into Q2 as well has meant that there is some impact on turnover as well, and also now this quarter when the margin was relatively higher. But also the fact that in the World Cup quarter, the leagues end a couple of weeks earlier as well. So clearly the World Cup comes on top and is bigger than those couple of weeks at the early part of the quarter, but it's still having some impact as well. So it's those factors mostly, I would say, that's impacting that it's not up as much as the kind of the you would perhaps have expected.
Can you also talk about 32Red a bit more? Explain what happened there, sequentially lower revenues and the EBITDA.
Yeah, the revenues, as we said previously, I believe in already in Q1, is the increased enforcement by the UK Gambling Commission, which is something that we fully support and is how we work as a group, as a larger company. That has meant that some of the relatively smaller brands, like 32Red historically, when they were on a standalone basis, and operating in a slightly different way, some of those tools that have been to put in place and clearer focus on the kind of the sustainability aspects have had a slightly cooling off effect on the top line growth, even though it's growing very, very well, and the team is doing a fantastic job with the brand. That's the nature of the top line that is perhaps not growing as fast as it used to do, but it's in a much more sustainable way nowadays. And also the effect of that EBITDA was 0.7 million. We took 600,000 office relocation charge now to get be able to co-locate the two offices in Gibraltar into one, and that's hit the 32Red numbers. So that 0.7 would be around 1.3. But we're also investing a lot more in marketing behind the 32Red brand now that is part of the bigger group, around 1.3 million more in marketing now in the second quarter than they had previously. So if you look on the total numbers, when you clear for those two items, the numbers for 32Red is not that far off where it used to be on EBITDA. So we're very confident with the acquisition and the developments that we're seeing and it's still performing really well, but it's now part of a bigger group, and we're using more of a portfolio approach again there to really invest, and we're seeing a very good return on the marketing that we're putting behind the 32Red brand.
Any further questions from the room? Then let us go to the web telephone.
Thank you. If you do have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And our first question over the telephone comes from the line of Martin Arnell from DNB Markets. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning, Henrik.
Good morning, Martin.
My question is coming back to this situation in the Nordics, where casino was only 2% growth, as you mentioned. I was just curious to know, your sportsbook margin was kind of strong in the quarter, and wouldn't that normally sort of support casino activity? And also, you mentioned that Nordics is 11% growth in the quarter, and that's significantly above market growth. Is that sort of really the case? And how have you been impacted by competitive situation in the Nordics?
You're right in that the competitive situation is fierce in the Nordics. We've seen also the kind of more pay and play casinos popping up especially in the Swedish market. So there's a jostling for position for the ahead of the re-regulation coming into force in 1st January. So competition is fierce, but we have done really well in Sweden. So it's also it's sort of the overall mix of the countries in the Nordic region, as you highlight. But I would say I'm not sure if I picked up rightly on the first part, but when the sports performance has been strong, as you say, with activity, but especially also when margin, there will be a correlation between if people are spending the money in sports, there are relatively less to spend on casino as well. So I think that that's having a bit of an impact on that. It's also a bit on the supplier mix in the especially the Nordic region, where we had a bit of a shift amongst the suppliers as well, and that has had some impact as well. So even if certain suppliers are growing really well, others are not growing as much, and that's having an impact. So the overall is sort of reflected by the numbers that you mentioned, around 10%.
Okay, thanks a lot. And for Sweden, for next year, in the new regulation landscape, how would you expect the competitive situation to change there in Sweden, the first year of the regulation?
Yeah, it will be very interesting to see. As I mentioned already, we have launched some organic brands in Sweden early last year, and those are performing strongly. And that's a very good complement for us compared to an M&A that we've historically done. So we have a good mix of brands for the Swedish market already now, and it's about trying to maximize the portfolio that we operate. And I'm pretty confident that it will be certain operators who will be struggling in the market, relatively smaller ones, when they also have to pay 18% tax, and also comply with the responsible gambling tools that are what we are doing already now. So for us, it's no change, but for certain operators, it will be for sure be a big change. So some people have said that there could be up to sort of 15-20% market share that will become available and most likely flow back to the larger operators that have a more established operations. And let's see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a bit like that. But we can for sure expect a bit of a marketing war in the initial phases, but then we'll see when the dust settles who remains, in a sense.
Wouldn't you say that sort of the marketing war has already begun in Sweden?
Yeah, in the sense that the market is more or less open from a media landscape point of view. Yes, that's a fair reflection, but I think it's between now and perhaps first half year to full year 2019, I think it's fair to expect that it will be quite high. And then long term, like we've seen in Denmark, it's a normal pattern that if people are not making any money, of course, they will not be able to spend much more back on marketing. I think that's one of the best antidotes for the marketing excesses in Sweden perceived by the citizens, is to introduce the reregulated system to be able to sort of get that in order in the right way.
Okay, thanks. And just on this subject of marketing, would you sort of care to give any indications if you're still going to look for slightly below 30% marketing to sales next year?
Next year is a little bit too early now. We haven't started the budget process for next year. For this first half year now, we came in on 27.3% as a group, and we're reiterating the guidance of a couple of percentage points below 30 for this year. And then we'll see what happens next year. But as you say, when Sweden is regulating, and that's one of our largest markets, and we will for sure not underspend in the market to let go of market share, it's probably quite likely that we'll be around the same levels for next year. But again, it's a little bit too early to talk about that now in detail.
Perfect. Thanks for clarifying. And then final question from me. You mentioned that your investments in the first half should trigger sort of good growth momentum in the second half. I'm just curious to know sort of what kind of levels you're looking for in Q3, Q4. You're at 30% growth so far, but I guess that's not a sustainable level for the full Q3, given that you had a World Cup boost.
Yeah, and last year, to be fair, there was no major championship, so of course that makes it slightly softer comparables in that sense. But it was also a fact that as France won the final in the end, and it didn't go to extra time, as I mentioned, the trading update would have been even stronger if we would have had a draw or even Croatia winning in the end of the match. So, but that's just normal what it is. So 30% we're very happy with, but it would have been even stronger. It could have been even stronger as well. So, as you say, 30 for the full quarter is probably difficult. It's also that this year the leagues will start a couple of weeks later, as I mentioned, in connection with the World Cup, or as a result of that. So there's only to be expected that this 30 would logically come down from these levels. But We have already set a clear plan for the coming years and where we want to be as a group in 2020 and internally, and we're working towards that plan.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's all for me.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question from the telephone lines comes from the line of Lars-Ola Hellström from Pareto Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, Henrik. I have a few questions on the Nordics as well to follow up on Martin's question. Considering casino growth and growing 2%, but it has been on the level of 47 million-49 million pounds for five quarters now. I wonder, is Norway problematic? Is competition now with Betsson back on track? Mr Green is improving with Pay N Play. Is it super competitive that it's really, really hard to grow? Do you need to change your product a little bit more, push live casino, et cetera, new game suppliers? What to do to get better momentum in the growth for casino in the Nordics?
Yeah. As you say, the developments have been for a few quarters, but at the same time, I would also say that the sports betting margin has been exceptional, especially Q3, Q4, Q1, and Q2. That has an impact as well. Rest assured that we have a very good team, and as we can show that we have a very strong growth in casino in our other regions, and we also have a very, very strong and competitive offering in the Nordics, and we're doing exactly what you say with the mix of slots and live and the other components as well. We're leaving no stones unturned on the getting the numbers up from a growth point of view. I think this is where we are now, and as you say, it's fiercely competitive, especially in the casino segment as well. That's what we're facing, but we're more than happy to take that on, and I'm confident that we will see bigger numbers coming in the coming quarters.
Can you give us some country split? Is Norway declining and Sweden growing?
We don't give that much on the breakdown, but clearly the increased enforcement that the Norwegian government's been trying to do, and as we discussed at length in connection with the Q1 presentation as well regarding potential blockings and the tug-of-war between the government and the operators over the last 20 years has continued, and it is quite a hostile environment in some ways when it comes to that. We're standing our ground, and we know that the customers want to have what we're offering, so we are not making any changes from that. It's just the nature of the situation as well, that it's a bit more challenging than it has been. I don't want to give more detailed breakdown as we haven't given that in the report.
Concerning sports in the Nordic, actually considering the margin, I would have expected to be a bit higher. Would you say that sports betting stakes, the growth of sports betting stakes has been rather low in the quarter, given the strong margins in earlier quarters in the Nordics? Has there been some mix effects of the results in the World Cup in the Nordics as well?
Yeah, it was also a case that in Q1 last year, which was a relatively low sportsbook margin, then we had 6% back then in sportsbook margin. There was a lot of money on the accounts for the customers that they could turn over in Q2, which makes the comparables for this year quite tough in that sense as well. That combined with the margin being higher now and also the fact that there was less normal league periods in this quarter has an impact on the overall turnover growth as well. We're looking at the activity and the customers that we get in and everything. We're very happy with that and where we're spending our bonus money and the quality of the database. I'm very confident with the underlying numbers and where we're heading. I'm not worried at all about that.
Then And concerning Western Europe, if we start with the sports book, would it be fair to say that France is the major growth driver for the sports book in terms of sports betting stakes and GBR?
Now we have had strong development, as I mentioned, across the main markets in the Western European segment. So it's very encouraging that we again have a very well balanced portfolio, and it's no market that are sort of much above the 20% mark as we talked about before. So and there's quite a few that are between sort of the 10% and 20% mark as well. So it's I'm very happy with the mix that we have and the growth that we're showing. Belgium did really well. Belgium reached far in the tournament as well. It was a very strong momentum, and we built that for the last couple of quarters leading into the tournament as well. And as I mentioned, also the UK. Now we're combining all the efforts behind the Unibet brand in the UK, which also had a very good effect on intake. So a lot of markets doing well there.
And how did it affect that the Netherlands was not into the World Cup?
It's very difficult to say if it wouldn't have been even better if they were, like in 2014 when they reached sort of the match for the bronze. So it most likely had some impact, but it was still very good activity from the Netherlands customers as well in the tournament. So, and that was kind of all as we expected as well. We've seen that in other markets like Sweden when they have not participated. People are very keen on the tournament anyway, and they're looking at events every day, and even if their own team is not playing.
And finally, about Western Europe, casino. I must say I'm a bit surprised that casino revenue is flat quarter on quarter, Q2 over Q1. Of course, 32 Red is one part of it, but can you say give some other flavor on it?
Yeah, but it, as I said, the Q1 is the peak quarter in a sense, Q4 and Q1, and the normal pattern for Q2 is that it's more of a summer period. People spending more time outside, less indoors, and even on the mobile as well. So I'm not really surprised with that, and especially in connection with the World Cup tournament, that it's even if that's also a kind of a trigger for casino, it's still, again, with the margin being higher than normal, that have an impact on the casino as well. So I'm not worried at all about that sequentially. If you look year on year, it's a strong growth for that. So I'm very happy.
Okay, and finally on M&A, you have 800 million pounds to spend. Are you currently in the process of evaluating one or several possible targets?
Mm-hmm. That 800 is coming from you, is it?
No, it's coming from you.
Okay. Now, joking aside, it is. M&A is an important part of our growth strategy. As you know, our first and foremost ambition is to have a good underlying organic growth rate, and then if we can add strategic acquisitions like we've done historically, of course, we will do that. But as we've also done historically, we don't talk about things until we have something more tangible to talk about. So let's see what happens in the future.
And I just remember one final question about customer intake. Are you... On a scale, how satisfied are you with the customer intake during the World Cup?
I'm very happy. A significant new all-time high in intake, and it's every major tournament, like in 16 or 14 or now in 18, it's mesmerizing the amount of intake that we're getting sort of already from the first day of the tournament and throughout the period. It's extremely impressive, and especially as I mentioned, that our systems are geared to take care of it in the best possible way as well, and working in a personalized way. So I'm very happy and very encouraged by the numbers now for the build up for the peak season now coming in sort of Q3, Q4, Q1.
So you was able to spend the marketing that you had budgeted for?
Yeah, we were more or less. We could have spent even more, but we're also very minded about the return, of course, that we're getting. But we're very happy.
Okay, and on a, also on a marketing question here, has GDPR affected you to some degree?
No, I mean, we have been preparing the systems and our processes for a long time on that, so we were ready from day one on that, and we are complying with it, so it's just the nature of the situation, and we haven't seen any impact from that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ed Young from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is now open for your question.
Hi, Henrik, and thank you for taking my question. I just had one. It was on a slightly longer-term basis, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if we look at your actives growth in the recent years, it's obviously been very strong, and that suggests your brand proposition is in a good place there. You mentioned about the US. You said you were looking at submitting a license application and looking to announce a deal maybe for achieving market access in the near future. You said you're investigating about your brand in the USA, but I wonder if you could give us a little bit of color about how you think about brand proposition in the US and its long-term opportunity. Do you think your organic brands could be used there? How else do you think you might look at building a brand? Sort of any color would be appreciated.
Yeah. No, it's a very relevant question, and it's one that sort of it's a bit of a moving target as well, of course, but our working hypothesis right now is when sports is becoming available, that we would see a big benefit if we could go with the Unibet brand, albeit that we fully appreciate as well that it's unknown in the US market, but it's worked well in Europe, and we believe that it could work well in the US as well. But of course, it's part of the overall discussion as well with potential partners, etc., on kind of what brand. So it depends a little bit on the setup as well, state by state, what kind of brands would kind of make sense. But if nothing else, it's kind of the Unibet brand is our main hypothesis for now. But we also have, like 32Red, as I mentioned previously, that could be an option if we wanted to go on a more of a pure casino entry in some states, if that would be an opportunity. So we're not really fixed already now throughout the different states, but for New Jersey, we're looking first and foremost now when sports is available with the Unibet brand.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. And our last question comes from the line of Rasmus Engberg from Handelsbanken. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi, good morning. I was wondering, Henrik, if you could shed some more light on your plans for marketing spend in the second half of the year. Your indications that you're going to be a couple of percent below 30, basically, you know, could easily mean that you spend as much in the second half as in the first half as a proportion of revenues. Is that that's not normally what you do in a World Cup year, but then with Sweden coming up to regulate, is that something we should be mindful of?
No, as you say, it's a bit of a moving target there as well, and normally the pattern is with sort of Q1 being sort of slightly over the full year target in Q2 and Q3 as well, and then Q4 a bit below and coming in on the kind of the long-term target. So that would be a normal pattern this year as well. I think that Q4 normally, especially as last year when the top line was so strong, then marketing reinvestment percentage came in lower. So that wouldn't be unusual this year as well, that it would be slightly in that direction. So it's more of an indication and see where we are. But again, as I said, as long as we get a good return on the investments we're doing, we're very happy to be on a slightly higher level to really build a business for the longer term. So it's more about that, what kind of opportunities we get and the kind of the mix per market and if we would indeed push into new territories like we talked about in the US or indeed if we would go into other geographical territories that would require a bit of a push as well. So it depends overall, but that's why we're saying that the guidance is still a few percentage points below 30, and then we'll see exactly where we come in the end of the day.
Yeah, but despite sort of the World Cup money, marketing money being spent, I presume, in Q2, and then that the league starts later, we should still have Q3 at a relatively high level and Q4 relatively lower. Is that correct?
Yeah, slightly. Yeah. If anything, yeah, I would say that's a fair split. And then we'll see, of course, what we're some way into Q3 already now, so in a sense. So, but yes, that would be the assumption that the Q2 period of the World Cup is where we put the brunt of the World Cup spend, in a sense, to reactivate and acquire throughout the tournament, and especially earlier on. The plan is to be slightly higher in Q3 and then slightly lower in Q4, if anything, but not to give any details.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. And the next question registered comes from the line of Daria Fomina from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you. I have two quick questions. One is again on marketing. Sorry if you're being repetitive on that. Can you comment maybe a bit on the CPA evolution in the key markets? You mentioned that Sweden is getting a bit more competitive on the marketing side with the deregulation coming up, and then also 32 Red, 1.5 million incremental cost outside of the US debate and the World Cup. Can you talk about the trends you see there, if there's a competition pushing your CPA up? And my second question would be on the US. Are you looking, what kind of partnership are you looking there? Is it you're likely more to go in individual states with different local casinos, or a bigger partnership with some of the chain casino operators is also on the table for you? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. The marketing and the CPA, we haven't given any breakdown per market on that, but as you indicate, where the competition is fiercest, the cost of share of voice is more expensive in those markets, and that's what we've seen especially in the Nordic markets, where the media landscape have been, in a sense, more or less open, and the CPA is slightly higher in those markets historically, and also, as you say, in the UK. And that's the sort of there's no real change in that sense. And we're also in certain markets we are more restricted on what we actually can do, in a sense, as well, like in the Netherlands, where we're not doing anything, and that's just the nature of the situation until the re-regulation is sort of implemented. And whilst in Belgium and other re-regulated markets where there's a full media mix available, then we can play around with that and see what we do in a combination of the mix with sponsorships and stuff. So there's a slightly difference between the markets, but we haven't given any breakdown on those. But I don't see any sort of major change. Of course, in connection with the World Cup, there's a bit of a higher kind of CPA to take care of the tournament as such, and to break through in the kind of the noise, but that's normal what we've seen in previous quarters or championship quarters as well. The US, we are not ruling anything out really. We're looking at each state in a sense opportunistically, but of course we're looking also across the different states and as you mentioned, what kind of presence potential partners or market access partners have in those states as well. So we're humble and realize that the market is what it is, in a sense, as well. So we have to adapt to the reality. If we can get access ourselves through more of a market access, I think that would be slightly preferred from a financial point of view, but that might not be possible in certain states. So we have to look at it the way it is, in a sense. So we're looking broadly, if that's an answer to your question.
It is. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as there are no further telephone questions registered, I now hand back to our speakers in the room.
Thank you. Let us conclude the Q&A session with that. Any closing remarks?
No, I'm very, very happy. There's plenty of questions, a lot of phone conference, but no, I think it was valid questions and more happy than looking forward to Q3, the rest of Q3 now and into the peak season for Q4 and Q1.
Thank you for attending and listening.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming.